Pat, I don't know if I've laughed so hard as today on today's program. And it was not about O.J. Simpson dying, surprisingly, because
no,
I think it's too soon to joke about his death.
I think that's clear.
Right. Yeah, that's very clear. But we talked about several things that are going on in today's world that you really need to know about that you're probably not hearing anywhere else. First of all, I talked a little bit about Israel and why that matters in a way that I don't think, well, I might even get in trouble from, you know, maybe rabbis and priests and everybody else. But talking about God, why it's important and why we're possibly missing that boat. Also, Pat corrected me on being too harsh on Congress.
Yeah. Some genius coming out of some Congress people's mouths. Absolute genius.
You don't want to miss a second of today's podcast. First, remember the good guys. You know what I'm talking about. I went to a store. I think it was maybe it's called Just Macaroni and Cheese. My wife and I walk in, and the guy behind the counter was so great. He was so nice, and he was so helpful. And it was like, I walked out, and I said, he's got to be the owner. Because no employee today is like that. That's the way they used to be, but they're not like that anymore. The good guys still exist with realestateagentsitrust.com because their name is on the line. So if you're looking for a great real estate agent, somebody who knows the best practices, somebody who already has a line of people going to their website looking for your kind of house, they can help you sell your house for the most amount of money in the fastest time and help you buy the next house. And it doesn't mean if you're moving across the street, you can use the same person. If you're moving across the country, do you know how to find a good real estate agent? We do. And we don't charge you anything for it. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com. This is my company. You just tell us where you're moving from and to, what you're looking for. We will find great real estate agents in your area. People who are fans of the show, so you'll have a lot in common with them, and you can trust them. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
This is really great. One of the people quoted in the new report from Bloomberg says it's just a matter of when, not if, Iran will attack Israel. The head of the U.S. Central Command is expected to visit Israel today for consultations with Defense Minister of Israel and other officials to discuss the threat of an Iranian attack. And I don't know about you, but the people who brought us the withdrawal from Afghanistan, I'm certainly glad they're over there giving advice to Israel. You know, I'm just glad we're there. You know, I I'm a big Israel supporter, but I don't want to fight any of their wars. You know, I'm for, hey, let them fight their own war. They're a country. They're capable. They at least recognize the evil in Iran. We don't really do that anymore. So let them fight it. I think we have other things to do. Look, here's one thing I want to talk to you about today. I see a growing trend in the right that I find a little disturbing, just a little bit. Some people are calling it a move towards anti-Semitism or maybe anti-Zionism. I think it personally has to do more with the way the conservative movement is detaching itself from Christian identity, if you will. You know, it's just the Southern Baptists, it doesn't play the role that it used to play. Christianity is not playing the role it used to play in our society. And I personally see this as a tragedy. He's a Christian. He's a Christian identitarian. Nope. I don't want a church running the country. I want the country run by the Constitution. But I would love churches and people of Judeo-Christian faith because that faith teaches peace, love, love thy neighbor, all of that stuff. People who actually live that, which there's very few people, I mean, myself included, I don't think I'm I'm not necessarily the best example of a Christian, but I try to be. I try to be a better man every day. The religious right has been shamed into the closet. And I'm afraid there is a future coming where the right isn't guided by God, but by power. And then what is the difference between us, honestly? If we're just guided by power, what are they guided by? Power. And I see the turn away from Israel as evidence that the new right doesn't want to submit to God. Not because the nation state of Israel is completely righteous. I don't know. I don't think they are. I mean, I like Benjamin Netanyahu, but he's got some problems. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want America to have to subsidize another nation state, any nation state. I don't want to go fight anybody else's foreign wars. But the fact that God chose the land of Israel as his nation is kind of an unavoidable fact. Okay?
Kind of. I mean, that's just, I mean,
why do you think the Muslims want to destroy so much of the history of Israel? Because in the land of Judea, there's archaeological evidence that it was run and named after the Jews, Judea. Now, does Israel deserve this? I don't know. But, you know, I read from the Bible. On the contrary, who are you, you foolish person, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does the potter not have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one object for honorable use and another for common use? Do you have your Bibles with you? Here's the problem. In today's world, because God said so, you know, Israeli, and I don't think Dad really wants to, I mean, he may say that from time to time because he just, well, he's God, so he doesn't get pissed off. But I don't know. In his way, he's got to be like us as parents, where we're like, because I said so! Once in a while. But it's not a compelling answer for the new right, because we're setting up our own reason as our God. Now, you know, one of my favorite phrases comes from Thomas Jefferson when it comes to religion. Above all things, fix reason firmly in her seat and question with boldness even the very existence of God. For if there be a God, he must surely honor reason and honest questioning over blindfolded fear. So God doesn't ask us for blindfolded faith. You know, we don't have to all be in lockstep on the interpretation of what Scripture says. As Paul says, heaven forbid, come let us reason together. This is Isaiah. But at the end of the day, when we've wrestled with God like Jacob and hurt ourselves, do we submit? That's the question. Do we know more than him? Zechariah said, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundation of the earth, who forms the human spirit within a person, declares, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. And on that day, when the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations. All those who try to move it will be cut into pieces. Now, I don't like that last part. Okay, that last part is like, I don't think we should do that. Now, he's got a couple of pretty serious rules, you know. He's got 10, and I think all 10 of those have shown me in my lifetime, yeah, you know what? I think this God guy has something going for him. I think he knows a little bit more than I do, because I like to break almost all of those rules, you know. Haven't done the murder one. It doesn't really appeal to me, but hey, to each his own. But everyone that I have broken, I've regretted afterwards. I've been like, you know what? That Mo guy, when he walked up to the hill, you know, and he got those tablets, and he was like, hey, I got just 10 of them. You know, I've broken probably, I don't know, 9, because I know I didn't do the murder one. So I've probably broken 9, and every single one of them I've gone, not such a good idea. Now, none of those say, oh, by the way, if you do this, I'm going to cut you into pieces. You know, as much as I don't like the smoting part of the Bible, there's a lot of smoting in the Bible. Personally, I think it's not God getting mad at us. I think it's actually just the way he set up the universe. You do these things, it's going to leave a mark. It's like there's patio doors all over in our life. And God's just there going, there's a patio door. It's closed. Don't run. Don't run. You're going to hit. Okay, that's going to leave a mark. I happen to believe the Bible is true. And the older I get, the more important it becomes to me. I believe every word. Doesn't mean I understand it. But I believe God stretched out the heavens, laid the foundation, and formed humans, the human spirit. He formed everything. So I also believe that anybody who tries to move Israel, which is a spiritually loaded word that extends beyond the modern nation state of Israel, but still includes it, will be cut to pieces. Now, that's not a political opinion. It's also not an unbiased one that I came, you know, only using my reason. You know, look, I'm smarter than you. I figured this out. No, I'm not. I just happen to believe what God says he means. And some people don't. And that's fine. Like I said before, a lot of people no longer believe. A lot of people no longer go, you know, I don't know. The smoting part does kind of worry me. I don't think God's going to pound us all into salt. I think our actions pound us all into salt. There is something to this whole Jews keep getting persecuted thing. Maybe I'll share that with you today. I was talking to a rabbi just a few weeks ago, and I told him this theory, and he said, have you talked about that on the air? And I said, not really. I don't think so. He's like, you'd really need to. I've never heard that, and I think that's right. Maybe I'll share that with you today. But the tides are turning in an anti-God direction. Anti-Semitism is a symptom of that disease, and that disease becomes evil. Evil. You're seeing evil everywhere, right? I mean, isn't it pretty clear for most people, even if you don't believe in God? I mean, I have an atheist friend who I said to him, it was James Lindsay. James, I know you don't believe in God, but I mean, I can't describe what I'm seeing in any way other than evil. And he's like, oh yeah, definitely evil. I mean, you mean evil the way I mean evil? Yeah, definitely evil, Glenn. I mean, even atheists can see. This isn't normal. I think we've run through several glass patio doors, and it's going to leave a mark. It's scary to see people using the Bible or God to support anti-Israel or anti-Jewish ideas. I pray it only seems to be a growing trend, but I don't think so. When you see these things, it's probably pretty good to stop. After you're picking the glass out of your face, you might want to stop and go, okay, all right, what made me do that? What in my life has me running through patio door after patio door? We need to search for that. Because I believe a God that is so powerful that can rise people from the dead. Oh, he can't do that. That's a myth. Okay, well, whatever. Have fun in your next patio door. Those who can A God who can raise people from the dead, I don't think spiritual death is that much of a challenge for him, you know? I think that's something but he needs us to go, wait a minute. Something's wrong here. I want to talk to you about Jace Medical. Jace Medical is something that, you know, I think we should prepare for. Chance of not getting medication at CVS or Walgreen. Sounds crazy. I mean, it's America. It's America. That'll never happen. Imagine if the government came out and said, we're going to lock everybody in their houses for 2 years. That'll never happen. May I suggest you call Jace Medical right now? Enter the promo code Beck at checkout for a discount on your order. Here's what they do. You can start with the Jace case, which has 5 essential antibiotics that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. You can have them in your house in case of an emergency. They also are working to expand their medication offerings. They add all kinds of medications every day. If you have, you know, high blood pressure or you need insulin or whatever, check and see if Jace has your medications available. Again, they're adding every day. You can have a year's worth supply at your house, jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. Now, back to the podcast.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. We want to give you... Catherine Herridge and her testimony regarding freedom of the press and what she's gone through in a hearing in Washington currently going on.
As you know, in February, I was held in contempt of court for refusing to disclose my confidential sources on a national security story. I think my current situation can help put the importance of the Press Act into context. One of our children recently asked me if I would go to jail if we would lose our house, and if we would lose our family savings to protect my reporting sources. I wanted to answer that in this United States, where we say we value democracy and the role of a vibrant and free press, that it was impossible, but I could not offer that assurance. The Bipartisan Press Act, which came out of this House committee, would put an end to the sort of legal jeopardy that I have experienced firsthand in the federal courts. And without the legislation, more journalists will run the uncertainty of the contempt gauntlet in the future. This legislation will provide protections for every working journalist in the United States, now and for the next generation. The legislation provides strong protections at the federal level for reporters and their sources. It would block litigants and federal government from prying into a reporter's files, except when there's an imminent threat of violence, including terrorism and in defamation cases. At the state level, similar rules are already in place to protect press freedom. It is my sincere hope that the passage of the Press Act will provide similar protections at the federal level. I hope that I am the last journalist who has to spend 2 years in the federal courts fighting to protect my confidential sources.
No.
My current situation arises from a Privacy Act lawsuit. I am only a witness in the case. It is not common for these cases to reach the stage of holding a reporter in contempt, but when such cases happen, they have profound consequences, impacting every journalist in the United States. Forcing a reporter to disclose confidential sources would have a crippling effect on investigative journalism, because without reliable assurances of confidentiality, sources will not come forward. The First Amendment provides protections for the press because an informed electorate is at the foundation of our democracy. If confidential forces are not protected, I fear investigative journalism is dead. Each day, I feel the weight of that responsibility. As you know, I was held in contempt of court for upholding the basic journalistic principle of maintaining the pledge of confidentiality to my sources. I have complete respect for the federal court and the judicial process, and I'm not here to litigate the case. It will play out before the appellate court in Washington, D.C. But the fact that I have been fighting in the courts for 2 years and that I am now facing potentially crippling fines of $800 a day to protect my reporting sources underscores the vital importance of the Press Act. When you go through major life events, as I have in recent weeks, losing your job, losing your company health insurance, having your reporting files seized by your former employer, and being held in contempt of court gives you clarity. The First Amendment, the protection of confidential sources, and a free press are my guiding principles. They are my North Star. When I was laid off in February, an incident reinforced in my mind the importance of protecting confidential sources. CBS News locked me out of the building and seized hundreds of pages of my reporting files, including confidential source information. Multiple sources said they were concerned that by working with me to expose government corruption and misconduct, they would be identified and exposed. I pushed back, and with the public support of my union, SAG-AFTRA, the records were returned. CBS's News' decision to seize my reporting records crossed a red line that I believe should never be crossed again by any media organization in the future.
Okay.
The litigation.
Let me tell you, we are facing it. Let me just start here. The Committee on Un-American Activities, was that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's perceived as a bad thing.
The way it was done
was a bad thing.
Yeah. Okay. Actually going and finding, out and arresting people for what they believed, et cetera, et cetera.
Not a good thing.
Firing people because they happened to be a communist. Not a good thing. And not just because they're a communist. Hollywood would have kept them going. It was the government leaning on them and saying, you know what? Who else? Maybe you're a communist. We all know that was wrong. There's going to come a time very soon, I think, of when everybody knows this is wrong. Everybody knows. You're on the wrong side of history. And it used to be hard to say that. Because you just don't, it wasn't as clear as it is right now. But everything that we're seeing going on, you are on the wrong side of history. Now, George Soros' number two guy met with my number two guy years ago and delivered what I regard, and everybody who was part of this regard, as a threat. It is the reason why I did the Puppet Master 3-day series on George Soros, because on the advice of a very good friend, when he knew George Soros, when he said to me, tell me the story again, because I was calling him for some advice. And he said, wait. You got to get on the air right away. And you have to make everybody understand that you are the number one target from George Soros, that you are his main enemy, because there's only safety in the spotlight. And so that's why I exposed him as much as I did. They were trying to get me to back off. And the word that was given to one of the guys who worked with me, he was an executive vice president at the time, Joel Cheatwood. He was told by the Soros, you know, number two guy, that your boss is hurting my boss and this is going to end. And you need to send your boss that message. He's going to stop doing this. And Joel Cheatwood said, no, I know my boss and I don't think he's going to stop. And then it was said, the ship is about to set sail. And you're either on the ship or you're not. But there's no turning back. You will be left behind. And Joel said to him, well, I'm pretty sure my boss would rather be standing on the dock. So, here's the thing. They believe that everything is a done deal. They believe that this ship has already sailed, that we are just holding on to old antiquated ideas and a new world order is coming. You don't want to be on that ship. That ship is a very dangerous ship that is just riddled with pathogens. It's riddled with evil. It's riddled with just horrible ideas that have been discredited for centuries. The principles that will last, and I don't know how long it's going to take. If we lose them, as Ronald Reagan said, the generation that loses them will never see them regained again. Let's not have that be us. We are very, very close to losing them. They think they're winning. I think they're scared. I think they're terrified. Why else would they be going after Catherine Herridge? Why would you? One person, one Chinese spy was found. She has the source that pointed the finger and said, he's a Chinese spy. He's infiltrated us. Why would our government, A, not want to stop Chinese spies? When? Okay? Why would our government not want to do that? Who has enough power to tell the Justice Department, go after them? I want to know who that source is. For what reason? To punish them for blowing the whistle on a Chinese spy? They think they're going to win, but they are also terrified because the elections are happening all over the world. We're going to see what happens in Europe. Now, Europe doesn't have, I mean, they had Russell Brand. But have you heard much from Russell Brand? They have just decimated Russell Brand. He was everywhere. And he was the voice of waking people up on the World Economic Forum, et cetera, all across Europe. And people were waking up. Well, they destroyed him. Destroyed him. They can't afford to have people wake up at this point. Because they know the minute you truly wake up, it's over. It's over. You're not going to allow them to take away your rights. There is a special we did last night that I really want you to watch. It's up on YouTube. You can get it on Blaze TV now. We're going to talk about it next hour and give you some of the things that we spoke about. But it is, you're about to lose the republic. How do you know when you're a banana republic? When your politicians can go in as a bus driver and leave as one of the richest people in the country, right? When you have politicians go in as an average person and leave as multimillionaires, something's wrong. We're either going to solve this quickly or we're going to die a quick death. The Republic will be over soon, but it'll be up to us. And the only thing we need to do is inform ourselves, inform our friends, and then stand up for what you know to be true. You know it's not right to have the press, have the government come after them because they want the source of the whistleblower that blew the whistle on a Chinese spy? That's not political. That's not left-right. That's not Democrat-Republican. That's a Chinese spy. You know that's not right.
You're listening to the best of Glenn Beck. Need a little more? Check out the full show podcast.
James, how are you, sir?
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Good. That was a great documentary that you were a part of last night.
I appreciate that.
If you had to tell somebody in one fact, what do you think the fact is that makes people go, whoa, what?
Well, you know, there are so many to choose from. I mean, I guess, you know, if for most Americans, wars, pandemics, these things are not business opportunities. They're not opportunities to make some quick cash. But the reality is that that in Congress, if you're sitting up there on the Hill, you can take advantage of those opportunities, and people do.
You know, Nancy Pelosi always says, I have nothing to do with the investments in my life. It's my husband. He's just a great investor. He's like a world class, never seen before kind of investor to do what they do with their money, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it seems pretty clear what's going on. It's tough though, because the evidentiary standards for proving something like, you know, quote unquote insider trading, they're very difficult to meet. And the reality is, them. If you have that kind of the inside information, and you have a sense of what's going to happen before it does, and what stocks are going to pop before anyone else does, you know, yeah, it's fairly clear that you're not supposed to then start making trades, but you can, you know, you can say a kind word to a family member, to a staff member, to relatives of a staff member, and there's really nothing legally to stop them from taking action on that. So it's a system that's ripe for abuse.
There's a couple of things here. Let me play a cut seven here. This is George Santos exposing how the congressional leaders silence opposition and what would happen to Congress if, you know, people started actually looking into their stock trading. Listen.
I'm thinking, I want to go sign on to Abigail Spanberger's bill on individual stock trading. I was told that if I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it, that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up.
Who told you that?
I had staff from the majority, from leadership, tell me that to my face on the House floor. Like, the threats that fly around are just absolutely insane. In my very first classified briefing, which I unfortunately can't tell you guys for obvious reasons, unless you guys want me being tried.
Then you'd have to kill me.
Or I'd be tried for treason, so.
Maybe both.
Both, right? But it becomes a real issue because you hear this information and instantly you're like, oh, wow, I know this before the country.
If that level of scrutiny that you received in Congress was applied to anyone else in that building or the people who are at the top of both parties, what do you think would have happened to them?
You'd be running 535 special elections today if they were real. If they apply the same level of scrutiny to me, you'd vacate the whole goddamn building.
Why was George Santos selected to be the one who talked to you?
Well, Glenn, it's pretty simple, really. We reached out to just about everyone who is involved or might be involved, whether in a good way or a bad way, with these kinds of trading practices. And we were stonewalled. Rep Rokana, seemed like he might be interested. He played footsie with us, ghosted us. A bunch of other people, including the sponsor, co-sponsor of that bill that that George Santos mentioned there, co-sponsor with Chip Roy, who we did talk to. We got him on in the dock. Everyone else, just a big nope. So it was fascinating. I mean, Matt Gaetz, George Santos, you know, these guys are considered mavericks or worse by a lot of even Republicans. But, you know, when those are the only guys who are willing to speak to you, it's because there's a code of silence just about there. It's like an omerta, and it's very tough to penetrate. So, you know, we were very grateful to be able to get the inside scoop from those guys because, you know, they have been through fire and they are willing to say what others aren't.
Here is Matt Gaetz from the special last night.
Congressman Gaetz offered to take us on a tour.
So one of the committees where people have a lot of information is the Appropriations Committee, mm-hmm. because they can view almost any vector of government funding. And so, you know, this is Mr. Rutherford's office. He's on the Ethics Committee and the Appropriations Committee. 152 stock trades. Stocks go through the roof. And, you know, actually bought Raytheon stock the day that Russia invaded Ukraine.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, imagine if every American could make money off of war.
Yeah, setting aside the whole shame and ethics questions. How many more on our hit list here?
There are a few more. I wish there were fewer on the hit list. I wish we could only stop at one or two offices, but as it turns out, energy is a sector that sees a lot of congressional stock trading.
Sure.
And we have members who are on the Energy Subcommittee of Appropriations, like Michael Guest, chairman of the Ethics Committee, and he's traded somewhere between tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars in energy stocks. He's been buying online gaming stocks and just making a killing on them. So you would think that the people that were on the Ethics Committee would be your best allies in this fight, but indeed they're some of the most prolific traders. And not only trading, but in the case of Mr. Guest, trading in an area where he has access to energy information more so than almost any other American.
And no indication that he wants to maybe slow down, pump the brakes, recognize that there might be some appearance of impropriety here?
It seems as though the pace is only accelerating.
All right. So let me go back to a bigger point, James. What does this say about why these people are hanging out so long in Congress? Why they just never seem to retire?
Well, look, you know, I asked George Santos when he first got an inkling of how much patronage, how much of an insider's club, and how much potential for corruption there was when he was in Congress. And he said, basically day one, first briefing, you sit down, they give you information. You know, he said it was eye popping, and he realized suddenly the intensity of what he was dealing with. I mean, look, you know, you heard Congressman Gates pointing out that you got guys on the Ethics Committee, chair of the Ethics Committee in Congress. And they're setting standards. You know, it's a domino effect. You spend a few minutes on the Hill as an elected rep, and you come to understand very quickly that there is a choice. Are you on team or are you off team? And this goes beyond just Republican and Democrat. This goes to the heart of what is it that we're really doing here, and how do we protect our ability as public officials to avail ourselves of the advantages of being insiders in that system. It is a system that, you know, that really works as designed in that sense. And it's designed to keep people hanging around, taking advantage of what they can in whatever way they can for as long as they can.
One of my very good friends is Mike Lee. And Mike tells me all the time, what the hell am I doing here? I am impoverishing myself. I could be out making a good living. And, you know, in his times of frustration, he'll call me up. What am I doing? Why am I even here? What, this is not even good for my family, blah, blah, blah. When you have that kind of atmosphere, when you're not making money, it's almost costing you money to work there, that tends to have people come in, do it for a reason, and then get out. We have these people who are hanging out for decades. Well, why wouldn't you? If I could get an 80% return on my investments year after year after year after year, why wouldn't you? You know, other than it's wrong, but wait a minute. I could double my money if I win two more elections. I could start with $150,000 in a bank account, and I could be worth $30 million if I just work here for the next 30 years. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you know what, Glenn? I mean, really, what you're alluding to here is that this is really just the tip of the iceberg. Like, there is a symbiotic relationship between public officials and major corporations, in some cases, multinational corporations. And this is one facet of that relationship. And the longer that people stay around, the longer those networks develop and reinforce each other and police themselves, the more that both sides of the, you know, public sector, private sector divide, the more that divide melts away, and it enriches people and it corrupts people, and it creates very thick patronage networks that are just very tough to talk people out of participating in. You know, if you do get reelected, then you're back for a second term, and the pressure on you to play ball and to be part of the team is just immense. And, you know, I bet that some of Mike Lee's colleagues look at him and they go, you know, oh, this guy's
dope.
This guy's a pansy. You know, he thinks he's better than us. Mm-hmm. He's for some strange reason, he doesn't want to enrich himself. There's peer pressure, you know, it is sort of like a weaponized high school in a way.
Jeez, what a great term. Weaponized high school. That is exactly what it is. James, thank you so much. I appreciate it. God bless.
Absolutely, Glenn.
All right.
God bless.
James is the Blaze Media Editor at Large. He's also the host of Zero Hour, and he is also the host of this original from Blaze TV. If you haven't seen it, I so highly recommend it to you. It premiered last night, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich. It is available to the public for a limited time now at youtube.com/blazetv.com. Before the premiere, I laid out, I think, one of the most disgusting chalkboards that I've ever done. And it is the dirty trick that Congress, you know, becomes rich on. And you would go to jail if you did the same thing. This is what the elites really are. When you say the elites, why would they do that? Why would they do that? Well, if you know war is coming and you can openly just buy stocks of Raytheon and Boeing and Lockheed Martin, you know exactly the numbers of what we have left, what companies make those things that we're short on. I showed you last night. It's in this doc. It's amazing. The people who got out of airlines, Carnival cruise lines, all of these things before you knew all of that, what was coming with COVID. Before you knew, they had already taken their gains and got out before things went down south because they had already been briefed. They're not representing you. The only way this stops is if you spread the word. You really have to get the word out on this. If you're not a member of the Blaze, please join us. Use the promo code Glenn Originals and you'll get $30 off of your annual subscription. That's Glenn Originals. Get $30 off the annual subscription of blazetv.com/Beck. Do it now.